Hello and welcome to the GFW Radio Podcast. This is the podcast for May 15th, 2007. And I believe, if I understand correctly, this is not coming out of a whiskey nerd intro this week, is it, Sean?
It's not, because you killed that shit.
Oh, come
yeah,
on.
I shot his spirit down. All I did was suggest, you know, we shouldn't do it every week because maybe the readers will, like, come to expect it and then they'll be disappointed when we don't do it. So maybe now, in fact, they are disappointed.
That's not what happened, Jeff.
What? What happened?
I don't know, man.
Don't conceal the truth, man.
I don't know. You're saying people didn't want to hear that shit every week. And
when I said people, I meant me.
All right.
No, I love Whiskey Nerd.
But just to let it be known, it wasn't that I ran out of ideas, not by any means. I actually showed you this part of the script for one, a big
and thing I and on. I lolled, didn't I?
I think you lolled just reading it.
I did. I lolled just reading it over an AIM window. So I think maybe next week. We'll see. Actually, what I want is a GFW message board thread. We want Whiskey Nerd back thread.
Sorry.
Who was that?
That was me. Sorry.
That was Darren.
If they want it back.
Oh, yeah. I want
it back. That's my vote.
I didn't introduce us. I'm Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief. With me today is the usual gang.
Ryan Scott.
Darren Gladstone.
Sean Elliott.
Sean Malloy.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Jeff Green.
We're a little bit cranky here, this group, today.
Kill me now.
No, yeah, we're right. All right.
We're all right now?
After Sean has decreed Whiskey Nerd go away, I'm out of here. Nah, I'm just playing. So let's get the show in order. What have we got? We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, you know, notice that I have a printout this week.
Why don't you tell me what we got to talk about?
We got a lot to talk about this week. I was on One Up Yours on Friday. Not to toot my own horn, we don't have to talk about it. I'm just saying. The reason I brought that up is because when I did the One Up Yours podcast, Skip handed us all, right, all of us on the podcast, this whole freaking sheet, this agenda.
It's like an Excel file.
It is. It made me feel real shitty. I was like, God damn. Does he do it in Excel?
Yeah, they do, but that's because they have so many like specific news items that they run through.
Yeah. So I printed out something for us here.
Pretty good.
Is it pretty good? Yeah, it's helping us so far, if you can't tell.
Yeah, so far we're right on topic. See, topic one is
meander
for 5 minutes.
Talk about the list.
That's like the band comes on stage. So we've got this piece of paper taped behind the speaker over here, and it reminds us that we're going to start off with Freebird. We're going to follow up with Freebird. And if the asshole with the lighter in the air that asks for Freebird, we'll play it again.
All right. So organization, not my strong suit. Well, let's get right into it, shall we? Let's start off today's podcast with what you're playing.
God. You like that better?
I feel like such a douche right now for being a part.
Now, what's that about? You got
what?
You got some people, after your appearance on One Up Yours, you got some people that didn't like your voice. It was unfit for radio, they said.
It was one guy. One guy.
Dude, one guy is like critical mass on the internet.
You're right.
He
represented millions.
He used caps, though, dude.
I agree with you, FBandito101. I think that he has a terrible voice for the radio.
Jesus. Yeah, I should have said, you think I'm nasal? Wait till Ryan Scott's on. Yeah, that kind of sucked. That bothered me.
We'll use your.
It's kind of like what we talked about before. You get the one negative thing. Mm-hmm. So then I like got off the internet and I was like, I went over to my wife and my mom who was staying with us because my mother's here. I was like, do I have a nasal voice?
But I pointed out, I'm like, if you listen to it, for one, this isn't radio. This is a bunch of us sitting in like a broom closet.
This is modern radio.
Yeah. Well, it's not modern. I don't know. Whatever you call it. But then, then in addition to that. I mean, it's like distinction is good if you're going to be on any kind of like audio format. And I mean, Howard Stern sounds like he ate, you know, Brillo pads. And I mean, Adam Carolla's got a goofy sounding voice. I don't know. I mean, it's like,
you're right.
You want a, like a suit and tie
that's the personality
style of speech that's cleaner than a bar of soap.
Right.
You know, every.
Also, you know, not to name names or pick on anybody, but like, you know, Shane, he's got kind of a nasally voice.
There's nothing distinct about
the nasally voice chair.
I guess I was nasal voice for the day. And then some other guy said, you know, keep the PC gaming nerds off our podcast. That was another one.
Negative. The long story short, you've learned a lesson here, and that's that.
Stay in my place here at GFW.
Know your role.
I can be nerdy and nasal here. No one will pick on me.
Not as many.
When a message board kid uses caps, he is critical mass. The entire world has aligned itself against you.
On my nasal voice?
He did my memory, and that's like all that matters here for facts. So.
That's right. As he types, code, as he types psi.
I had fun on the podcast.
Type in psi. Since we're already off track, we haven't even
started
on track. I just need to do a quick rant then to add. I mean,
to the ramble.
Well, I've criticized the use of psi, and I've especially criticized the use of like shift eight psi shift eight. Yeah. But I have to add, like, for the new like Asperger term of the week is like whilst. I mean, whilst. Where's this shit coming from? If you're from UK, okay, fine. But I mean, like, if you're some 13-year-old from name some random ass city,
Milpitas,
from Buttfudge, and like, and you go whilst. I agree with the comments of the previous poster, and it's like.
Hey, you know, they talk like that in Middle Earth. He's allowed to do it there.
They do talk about that in Middle Earth.
I think it's a way to sound a little more intelligent while actually not being.
No, it's not. It's another one of those things that's going to like just
attempted
change
pomposity.
Like English usage, like conjugations for the word bias, like rather than he is biased or anything, it's just like you is biased or you are biased.
You are te bias.
I mean, but 20 years from now, that will probably be like if you pick up like the MLA handbook or something, that will be the proper way to conjugate bias.
You think that's going to work?
And
its
whilst
way into,
will have replaced while, and then some future hero will turn it back to while this. By being
well,
a
damn,
rebel.
If those were the rules, then like there would be no rules on your and your anymore by now.
Ryan, don't contradict my harebrained theory.
You think maybe te is now part of the common vernacular? You think?
No, it kind of is. I heard lol, like you'll hear lol in conversations.
Yeah,
because like, everyone just agreed. They're like, we passed the point where lol, where no one actually thinks that anyone is like legitimately laughing when they type that. So you'll say it now in an ironic way, like someone like bombs at a joke, and you're like lol.
Yeah.
You know?
I refuse to actually type lol for the longest time. I did not get on the lol bandwagon because I was like, I'm not laughing out loud at all.
Not even inside.
That's why I think ha ha ha, it's been easier to like just go and use that.
Or mild forced smile is what I want to say.
Yeah.
MFS.
Mildly amused. Say it flat out. Say as you... Am I supposed to be laughing?
Or wank?
Has meh been overboard yet? That's pretty much there,
that's
right?
That's blasted out.
That's
what is?
Yeah. It's meh.
That's used meh. Up.
It's, it's a shame. I enjoy using that one for a long time.
Okay, so we're how many minutes in now and haven't talked about shit yet?
8 minutes.
Awesome.
All right.
Okay, so...
So much for my typed out sheet here.
Let's bring that ish back.
Okay, so let's bring it back.
What you playing? Hi,
what you playing? The first thing we're going to talk about playing is various increments of Halo. Gang?
Yeah.
There's been a little bit of Halo 2 on Vista,
well, we did
and a little bit of Halo 3 for a few of us here.
Right.
Well, we did try playing some Vista here in the office. We got up to 3 people playing because there's so many like online bugs.
Right.
What happened with that?
Well,
Tell the dear listeners.
Well, the short version is there were a lot of upgrades that needed to happen to the live service and for PC. And we had connection issues. Just trying to get a game up and running was enough of a trick.
But we were able to deathmatch on small maps, which is fine with 3 players. And, in my mind, if you have I forget the name of the maps that we were on. It was basically the one that's for Halo Vista. It's a remake of one of the favorite tournament
Warlock,
favorites from Halo 1.
Right, whatever. That
map's fine. It's actually fine for one-on-one play, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually had 3 working Vista machines in here that could play Halo 2.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
cool using that interface to go on, all you do is press your home key and you bring up what you're used to getting when you press your magic X circle key in your 360 controller.
So it brings up the Windows Live.
Yeah, very all familiar, all the stuff that you're used to doing. But you use that key and it brings that up.
The one thing that kind of bums me out, though, about that is it's got a fraction of the stuff you could do on, like, when you, the same button press when you call it up on the console, you could do a lot less on the PC.
Is that just right now?
Right now. I mean, hopefully they're going to build in some more stuff, but like, that's one problem. The other thing is, it should be kind of built into the OS at this point, so if I hit the home key or, if I could key it to something, like, even whether I'm in a game or not, it kind of calls up that, guide so I can hook up with people in another game.
My understanding is right now you have to actually be in a game.
Exactly.
To use that key.
Can't run live down in the bottom taskbar like you would Steam or something.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I'm going to go ahead and call that retarded.
That's
majorly retarded.
Yeah, because how is someone going to like hit you up and say, hey, let's play, what's it called?
Right.
What is it called?
Playing already.
I mean, they can't because you'd have to be, that's ridiculous.
I mean, technically,
use AOL Instant Messenger.
Well, I'm not going to know until we get copies of Shadowrun in, because that's the first instance where you're going to see people, like, on, like, basically on consoles and PC trying to hook up at the same time. So maybe there's like something built into like MSN Messenger where you could, like, if you have that running in the background, it'll pop up a message. But still, it's kind of retarded that you have to have the game running in order to like connect up.
That's all stuff they'll be able to fix, though. Yeah. I mean, like that seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that. I was more worried about when we were playing how it feels like running at exactly, you know, running, not performing, but you're physically, your Master Chief model running mm-hmm. in the game at the exact same speed as Halo 2 on Xbox. It feels like I'm playing Counter-Strike and I got like the WOT key glued down.
No, I was saying the same thing when I was playing the game.
Because it's another one of those things that's, I mean, so much is based on perception, but with the interface, because you're able to like mouse look super fast, you know, so you can whip around and you're used to that.
You're
like, I can look so fast, but why am I like tiptoeing, you know? And you're like, come on, move, motherfucker, move.
But this is like, actually the speed that that Halo 2 runs.
But it is.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly, and it feels ideal. I mean, that speed is very carefully tuned on the Xbox console game. No issues with it, but because of the difference in the other interface, it really feels like you're crawling through, you're walking over through someone's fat mom's ass, you know.
No, actually, I got to correct you on one thing though. It's a minor point, but like I noticed this. I noticed the same thing as you, and like I plugged in a controller just to see the difference, right? So because it's key to an analog stick, you can actually walk versus run. I mean, like it's all relative. It's still kind of going pretty slow. But there's only
at max speed though. It's still max speed.
Well, max speed, but exactly. But it's still kind of.
The analog just makes it so you can go even slower.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's kind of relative.
So,
but the thing is,
you start to appreciate the speed of like a power walk when
exactly.
you're able to, like, actually.
But it's just kind of funny. It's like they jack up. Like that's the jacking up of their speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was interesting to me because it just seemed like when you put it with the controller, it's like, oh, this is fine again. But it just the bottom line. It just seems to me is that this game is ported. They took the trouble to port it to this platform, and it's still with an emphasis on the controller. And it just seems so weird.
Then why did they port it?
The textures are flat as hell. And like, I think I might have mentioned this on the podcast before, but like, you watch some of the, you walk up to some of the human textures, and it looks like a serial killer with a mask on.
Yeah, and we did that.
I did mention that. Okay.
No, I mean every time it comes up, we talk. I mean, we've got melted mannequins.
Yeah, sure. Okay. You know, no need to go into that then. But
the dude from the first graphic novel, Creature.
Exactly.
What else we got?
So far, we're not overwhelmed with excitement for Halo 2 for
busted Vista. Textures. Oh, and here's another thing that I really loved is that the required game settings is on the Windows Experience thing index. It's a 3 out of 5.9, and in order to get it running, and it's chuggy at that, is a 5 out of 5.9.
Is this unbelievable
to me?
Wait,
5.9?
5.9 is the max right now for the Windows Experience scale, and then it kind of like, it's stupid, but it builds over time. So like when the next wave of graphics cards and CPUs come out, it goes from like 6 to 9.9.
Have we ever got a real rational explanation out of them as to why the requirements are so high for this console port?
I have
3 years ago.
I got nothing, man.
And that's especially puzzling, too, because, again, when I'm, like, asking what it's doing on this platform, if you said they want to attract people that may not have an Xbox or whatever, but they have a PC that's got reasonable stats on it, and then they just get a controller, and then they can experience what it's like. But I'm talking about reasonable. I'm talking about, like, maybe, like, you know, a 3-, 4-, 5-year-old rig. But,
right.
Of course, that's not the case. It's a
Vista. I mean, that's why I laughed. A reasonable PC. None of us in this fucking room have a PC that can play that.
Right.
Well, Darren does, but that's
because
he's the tech guy.
I mean, I have a reasonable PC, and it still runs kind of chuggy. And I'm like, I'm just scratching my head.
I mean,
how
is this gonna get people to play Halo that only have a PC? No one has that kind of PC. I mean, they needed to dumb this down. They needed to do like what World of Warcraft did, which is go lower than everybody's current system.
And the funny thing is,
it seems like Halo 2 should have been able to do.
The thing is, like graphically,
I don't get it.
The way it looks, it doesn't warrant that performance lag.
Yeah, I'd like to hear why. I'm sure that there's probably some Microsoft person listening to this podcast now and hating us and hating that we ever made this deal with them. I'd really like them to respond and tell us for real why Halo 2 has to run on Vista at these requirements.
This is a very topic du jour, and like it's something that we're going to have to put out there too. Is that I think a lot of people, especially like diehard, you know, committed Halo fans, are going to perceive that there's like an inherent bias among PC FPS fans. you know, that were just determined to
I'm
prove
not biased
that,
against the franchise.
Oh, exactly.
I want to see it here sooner. I want to see Halo 3 like released pretty shortly after the console version on the PC.
And even though like we're constantly talking about how much we play 360 in various environments, you know, just like when you're on 1UP Yours, you're talking about all the live games and stuff. But that's still there because I think in general, and you do see a certain kind of chauvinism on message boards, and what the understanding is that, okay, here's guy X, and he's the one who's biased against Halo, and he's biased against it because having spent however many thousands of dollars to play whatever shooter on his game, he needs to convince himself that he did the right thing and that he can't get a superior, you know, experience for a fraction of the price and that the other people are playing it. So right. They just think that there's like a kind of, you know, mental acrobatics going on to
right. I will clarify then for me. Anyway, for the record, I do not have a bias against this franchise or against the fact that it's on the 360. Actually, love Bungie. Marathon might be my favorite first-person shooter ever. The Myth series was fantastic that they put out in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And Halo 1 and 2 on the Xbox, I had a great time with, single player. So the point isn't that we're just trying to bag on this thing by saying, well, PC shooters did all this 5 years ago. I mean,
it's interesting that they are. I mean, there is like, you know, so, contrary to, you know, Gamer X, the PC guy in the FPS, I think there's what I call like the Spartan Gestapo. And those are like the most diehard of the diehard Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Halo players, and they for some reason can't understand why, for example, a 2 or 3 year old game that was basically, you know, designed for another interface than, mm-hmm. you know, than what we're playing it now, it just puzzles them why it still can't be seen as the best, bar none. Or not only that, but just like unimpeachable. It's like say a word wrong about it and you summon the Spartan Gestapo, you know, they'll come out of the woodwork and let you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is, like, playing Halo 2 now for the first time on the PC, it just seems like it's doing things like we've already done this in shooters now on the PC, and I'm not saying that that's a fault of Halo, because it's just a fact that Halo's 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Any way you slice it,
right.
It's an old game.
There's some, I mean, we could talk now, I mean, because obviously at least three of us here have been playing Halo 3 beta over the weekend.
Who else was playing over the week? Jeff, were you playing?
I was playing, and you, Darren, and Sean Elliott.
I played quite a bit. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right? Sean, Malloy, and Ryan, you did not play. Oh, you don't have a 360 yet, do you, Ryan?
No.
I'm not part of the club.
I wouldn't be playing it if I did.
Why not?
I don't play shooters.
You don't?
You know
hell
what?
No.
I may as well have not played this weekend, because, man, I got my ass kicked.
Me too. I can say
shit.
I played, but that's in air quotes, because I would log on and then just get shot over and over.
Yeah. I warned you guys.
The thing was, it's true. Like we were aiming on Saturday, and I'm like, dude, I think I'm gonna fire up Halo again, give it another shot. And he's like, don't get frustrated. You're gonna get your ass kicked. I'm like, I'm fully expecting that, because anyone who's signing on this early has a vested interest in Halo.
Yeah,
these are like the guys who are like, you know, they must. Cause
it's Charles, crazy. I couldn't last for 2 minutes. The only time I survived was when I was on a server with the EGM guys. Because they kind of suck.
I wanted to play with them, and they wouldn't play with me. So I ended up playing, like, I was with the Wolves. Like, you know, I started off as a level one, playing, like, all, like, 11s and above. But I figured it out, though. I did all right. It's not like I'm coming in the top score every match, which is frustrating to me. Because there's, like, I get used to, like, wanting that and expecting at least to be in the top two.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I held my own against people that were, like, far. But I mean, no doubt about it. There are people that are good. They will mess your shit up in that game quick.
And it's the beta.
Haven't some of them been playing? I hope some of them had been playing prior to Friday when we got it. I know that the beta had been available. Because if though, in the course of Friday evening, if in the 1 hour since I got that code, they got to, like, level 13 or 14.
I know.
That's some diarrhea sucking. I mean, that's...
I know.
That's, like,
that's true.
That's diarrhea
people
straining.
Knew where all the good, cool shit was already and how to access all the secret places. It was driving me nuts.
You'll be... What you want to do is find friends, agree to go and explore the map, look where the spawns are for all the things, mess around with the power-up, with the deployable power-up stuff now.
But here's the thing. I was thinking, if Halo 3, if in some, you know, bizarro alternate world, Microsoft actually had, you know, the cojones to release Halo 3 for Xbox 360 and PC at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We would be psyched about that game.
I think we would be more excited about it. I mean, but it would have to be. I mean, again, if they did the same thing they did with Halo 2 Vista, I wouldn't be so excited. I would want to play it on 360 because it's a controller-based game. It's a game designed for a controller, and it does that very well. I mean, it's the standard for that.
Well, on that same note,
there's no doubt about that.
You always use a controller if you need to on the PC. It's just sad you have to resort to that.
Mm-hmm. Right. But at that point, it's like, I don't know.
As someone who has a 360, I might as well play that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Unless
they're going to make me use a controller or design it for a controller, then I'll play with my controller machine.
Unless they had options that I couldn't get elsewhere. Like, I mean, the downside, this is all old news. They're using the same matchmaking system or, you know, an updated version of it that they use for Halo 2. And it's like when you want to go in and filter for a game, it's like I don't want to go in and randomly be thrown into like a Rockets only on map Y that I think is a piece of shit. And
right.
I'm the only one that vetoes it. Like, what if I wanted to search specifically? I mean, that's the downside of matchmaking. At the same time, it's great. You're never like sitting in an empty server with a bunch of bots waiting for people to join, you know. But there are a few things, though, about like even for a console game, there are a few critiques I have. And this is for both. I mean, I guess just continuing to justify the Halo 3 talk by linking it back to Halo 2 Vista. And one is that visually, it's not very remarkable to me. And it doesn't necessarily need to be the kind of game it is. It doesn't really matter. But it surprises me because I still see a good deal of like just, you know, eyeballs popping out of their head over it, or it sounds like it.
I don't get that either. But hasn't Bungie said though that they're adding a lot of pretty still in the coming months? I've heard.
Yeah, but I don't think adding particles and stuff is really going to make that much of a difference, because I'm going to argue that it's deeper than that with this game, and I got some stuff to say on that real quick. But Well, I mean, a video went up recently that's kind of like a walkthrough of Halo 3. It's online. Most people have seen it. It's on game videos and elsewhere. And as the guys, you know, the Bungie employee is demonstrating the game, he's like, look at the water now. We've got this river. And, you know, look. And he shoots a guy.
Again,
like,
don't get me started on the water.
The body, you know, the body floats in it. And then it sinks or something. You know, he's like, and you'll see stuff going down the river as you play. And everyone's like, oh.
It's the Ganges.
But yeah.
But the digital Ganges. Awesome.
There's a very un-PC joke that I need to make about Ganges. Maybe I won't. About the River Ganges.
Now move on.
I'll save it for the rest of the show. Okay, but so, the first night I'm in and I'm listening to people that are playing and they're like, oh, I love this, I love this, I love this, you know, and it kind of struck me as the, you ever play a beta with other people basically that wouldn't ordinarily have access?
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so. It's the same way. I remember before I was in the industry, I was invited for the EverQuest PS2 beta. And I was like,
oh, EverQuest Adventures?
Yeah, this is some serious shit right here. And I actually would like, I loaded that thing up, went through the trouble, and I was like, my first responses were like, I can't seem to get online. I did that a few times. It took me like maybe a day before I said, fuck this trash. But but you're like, okay, I'm part of something important. This is cool. I should be like respectful. You know, I should be appreciative of the fact that I'm in on this. And they're like, oh, yeah, I love this. Just is amazing looking. It's amazing looking. It's like, look at the water. Did you see the water? And like completely parroting, like point by point, that video demonstration on game videos. He's like, watch this. Your guy will float in it. But again, it's like, okay, the water thing. You just bitched about that. But it's like, yeah. I mean, Half-Life 2 came out for Xbox One, right? I mean, do you not remember pushing crates in there and shooting them and watching them splinter and bodies go flying in
that was
it?
Part of the... Like one of the first things you see in the demo, the first Half-Life 2 demo was like bodies floating in the water.
Yeah, and all this other stuff. But it's just like, okay, you got some water, you know. But I think the complaint about I'm very curious that Halo, when it was originally conceived, was conceived with the limitations of Xbox One hardware in mind. So when they're designing the world and aesthetic of the world, they're saying, let's work with this. Clearly, we're not going to be able to represent an environment that looks like this or this, or, you know, like a Ralph McQuarrie painting from a Star Wars design or something. We're not going to be able to do that. So let's take the minimalist, let's create a minimalist aesthetic based on our limitations. So they did that. But rather than saying, okay, suddenly now we have more hardware power available to us, let's rethink this and say, you know, it'd be like if Half-Life 2 looked structurally the same as Half-Life 1, you know, where the offices all were basically the same and stuff, you know. And I think it's kind of a curious move. I mean, there's definitely a distinct, you know, the world of Halo is definitely distinct for it. But at the same time, it just seems like it's kind of shackled to it to me at the same time. Like, these are basically designs that were made for the Xbox One, and there's nowhere to go with them now except to put more dimples in them, put more rivets and stuff, maybe put a little more corrugations in the shiny purple material or make it a little shinier. But it's not quite I mean, and this is the multiplayer maps. Again, there could be some crazy mind-blowing surprises in the campaign. But Halo 2 was very much that way for me, too, over Halo 1. You know, it was like, it was very limited.
One quick point before I get too far and I forget it. First of all, I think that Halo was originally planned for the PC, so I'm just wondering how far along in the process that architecture was laid out for the PC version. So, I mean,
Then it would have still been very limited.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, if you look at a game like Planetside, which has very much that same kind of chock-a-block, like here's generic architecture.
Yeah, Planet. It's so many games look that way.
Exactly, and so I don't think it was a matter of the
Quake,
hardware.
Arena maps and stuff.
I don't think it's a matter of the hardware in that case. I think it's more just a matter of just kind of like the intentional design.
But it was designed for. I think it was designed for the hardware. It is intentional design.
Right.
But
no,
it was designed
intentional,
with the hardware limitations in mind.
Well, I think maybe the textures, like, you know, laced over that architecture might have more of an impact.
It's more than that. It's more than texturing. It's the actual detail of the architectural models. I mean, like, if you look at the difference in the structures in Gears of War or something, mm-hmm. for example, we've got cornices and filials and all this sorts of elaborate stuff going on. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that Halo needs to be that way. Or if you look at, you know, the materials and stuff in a Crisis or other, you know, stuff that's coming out now, or even in Half-Life 2, which is getting on in years now. I mean, at the time on Xbox One, they just polygon count would have limited it. They didn't have they didn't have the mega texturing techniques. They didn't have the various things that Unreal Engine 3 uses that allows them to compress like massive detail into single, you know, textures and stuff.
But as you said, like, we have no idea what they have in store for the single player, right?
Right,
right, exactly.
And so these three multiplayer maps that are out now, mm-hmm. who knows? They might have just been designed just to show off the weapons for now.
And again, it doesn't like, and I mean, this is a nitpick in that it doesn't really matter all that much for a multiplayer game that's based on, you know, the spirit of competition and all that, you know? Mm-hmm. In the same way that you're like, StarCraft looks like ass. Uh-huh. But it doesn't matter. It's like chess at this point, you know? So,
right.
You're not going to criticize, and putting too much detail on the chess piece doesn't do anything. And not that, I mean, Halo is definitely not chess or anything, but you can make that argument. There are other things that bother me right now. One, and this you could fix, is that on the beta, it's radar only. Mm. You can't turn that off in the way that you would normally. And that's just crazy to me. I mean, when I play it, I always have to readjust and say, shit, I got to look at this radar in the corner. I'm so not used to doing that. It's like anathema to a PC shooter because it basically amounts to like a low-end wall hack, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's also motion sensor-based, so if you find a nice camping spot and you hide there...
Oh, it's motion sensor?
Yeah, you
crouch down or
stay still, and you can you crouch walk, and you'll disappear on it.
But, well, that explains a lot. I would have got fragged anyway.
It's not going to change anything.
No, it wasn't going to change my frag count, but still.
But what you're doing... For me, I mean, it is an integral part of the way that people are used to playing that game. For me, I just can't stand it. It's like you can figure it out. You're like, oh, look at that. You just quickly intuit where they're at. Mm-hmm. So ricochet a grenade around a corner, boom, I get a kill because, like, I saw it. I just don't like that. And I don't like the grenades coming at me that way. Or, like, no, it's not cheap at all. Because you both have the ability and you both have the limitation. But it's just, like, it's something that I assume we're going to be playing this beta from now until September or whenever when they release Halo 3.
I thought it was more limited.
What's that?
I thought it was just a few weeks, this beta. I could be wrong.
Oh, that they're going to turn it off on us?
Probably. Yeah. I have no idea.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
But, I mean, it's like, if I'm going to be playing all that time, I would like to be able to turn that off. You know, I actually had notes. There was a lot more I wanted to say about.
But maybe we shouldn't, though. It's Halo 3, which isn't coming to the PC until 2058 or something.
That's true.
not that we're bitter.
It'll be coming to Microsoft Bob 2.
But when you guys go back and play the tip, and for the other people that have their crackdown codes, probably playing tonight, right? Or the 16th, 14th or 16th.
I think it's 2 days.
Aim for the head. Like, I guess some people did that a lot in Halo 2, but I just, for some reason, I never figured out that was that important in it, and I would just sort of let the sticky aim do it and just do center mass. Mm-hmm. But in this one, the moment I figured out go directly for head in all circumstances, like, massively, massively improved my odds in firefights.
I don't know. Just playing this Halo 3 beta, I mean, this game isn't even out yet, and it already feels like going into Counter-Strike. You know?
It's because,
like, if you're not an expert, forget it.
There's such a dedicated, like, I mean, group of fans for that game, and I assume that those are all the ones that were let in on the beta outside of the press.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. And that's who you're playing. I mean, it's going to be
different. It's a matter of waiting.
But yeah, I don't think, I honestly believe, like, there's some people that will never be able to match those guys. Like, it's not like if you practice for, like, oh, I know I'll never for be a month. Yeah. You're not going to. And it's like you're always going
to
be.
No, I need to find, like, an, you know, and, senior oh, citizen here, server.
I do need to bring this up because this goes, I remembered it. Here's for, and it goes for Halo 2. Because so much of it, I mean, they're team-based actions in the game, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't get the same sense of, like if I'm playing Battlefield or something and I help the team or you do something from the team, but you're not necessarily the top scorer individually or the ability to be a top scorer without actually having to do a bunch of, like, hardcore fighting. I mean, it's not necessarily how I play, but I know that a lot of people will play it and enjoy it that way, you know. There's less of that opportunity in Halo, but the other complaint I have about the series is that they basically decided to create jack-of-all-trades maps. So rather than say this is going to be a CTF map or this is going to be a territorial domination map or a murder ball map, oddball in the game, they basically create one map, and then they have to shoehorn all these into it.
Yeah.
And, of course, they do a fair job of that, but you're always going to have circumstances in which the map is just could have been better manipulated for the mode you're playing. So, for example, in a lot of the maps that you're playing now, you'll see ATVs, four-wheelers and vehicles and stuff. And I would say they're almost there exclusively for CTF, you know, for flag running or for quick access to territories or something or like in something that's time-sensitive, like, you know, oddball. You might be able to find some justification, but they really are death traps, in my opinion, in the game. But it, when you're playing it on
they're
Slayer,
especially death
Team
traps
Slayer,
if you try to drive them upstairs like I was.
But if you're playing like Slayer, Team Slayer, it's like, okay, why is there this beach on this map so far away from all the action? Or why is there this back area? I mean, I don't know. I personally prefer like the way that Team Fortress did it, where you know they would have like a variety, like if it was a push-pull map, if it was territory, whatever it was, like it, the map was designed just for it. In the end, it means that you have to make a lot more maps to get the same, you know, amount of stuff. But
I did find it interesting when I played with EGM Friday night. We did one round of is it called King of the Hill? I don't know what it's called there.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I had a lot of experience in Battlefield in the old days and in other games like that of not doing the killing-based objectives.
Right.
And of scoring up big points for that because that's great for people like me who suck. So what I found in playing with those guys is they were all totally, like, still keyed on fragging each other. And so I just was, racking up massive points doing the
actual
King of the Hill
part. Well, that's how that works, though, because it's like, say, if someone's holding the ball, right?
Yeah.
On oddball or something. All there is to do is to kill the other guys so that they have a diminished chance of killing your ball holder.
Well, you just
run up to
the hill and get control of the
hill. But you want to kill them so that they don't kill you and take over the hill. It's always like a kill. It's not like there's classes. It's not like you're going to be the last thing I wanted to note is that they have those deployables now. You can get a shield and that you basically pick that up and you drop it, puts a bubble shield around you. There's a jump pad. None of it's really exciting or unique to the game. I mean, they exist in various, you know, under various other guises and other shooters and stuff. But one thing that's curious to me is that they have these spawned out in the world in the way that you'd have an overshield or invisibility or something.
Power-ups.
Now, if you're playing CTF in a map like Blood Gulch or something, what I wonder is why not have them in your base so that your team is able to say, okay, we have one shield, we have one jump thing. Who's going to take it and where are we going to use it? So you're like, okay, we need to capture territory 4, but it's wide open to sniper fire. You know, Bobby G is grabbing the shield. He's getting at the flag, going to deploy it, and then we're all going to move in and stay under that shield. That's where the shield's going to use. Instead of like, oh, shit, did someone grab a shield? Did you go out and find where the shield spawned? You know, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's another nitpick, but and it's a beta, too. Maybe they'll change stuff, but that would be a cool mode, at least offer people the opportunity to spawn a select number of those power-ups.
Good idea.
With symmetry in either team's base. Okay, so.
Is that enough Halo 3?
That's enough Halo 3.
We're sorry to everybody who doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
But it's too late.
But it's too late. We're not editing out 20 minutes of the podcast.
We have that.
And we still haven't left Section 1.
We haven't left Section 1. Yeah. Let's segue to Section 2.
Which is?
We have numbered sections this week.
We're still. Okay.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, we do. We do.
I'm going to skip right over my whatcha playing. Because it was all Xbox Live Arcade.
Pinball FX again?
Sean?
Yeah.
No, I got Ryan, nothing.
You got nothing?
No, I wasn't playing.
You took a little PC break, a little gaming break?
I took a being at home break.
That's a good thing.
So.
Always a good break to take.
Well, it wasn't done.
But Ryan, you just finished something you enjoyed quite a bit.
Yeah, I've been playing Sam & Max all weekend.
Did you finish the whole thing?
I did. I just actually finished the last chapter of Season 1 right before coming up here to
which
to
is chapter what six?
Chapter six.
Okay,
so you were like,
and you were giggling at your PC all day. I understand.
Yeah, giggling was like all a schoolgirl.
All a titter.
All a titter. Yeah. And your verdict?
I think that those games they're really good, but I think they're a lot more fun when you play them back to back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Which ones did you play like when they came out, and which ones did you play continuously?
I played episode 1 and episode 2 when they came out, and since Friday I played episode 3, 4, 5, and 6.
So what made it better for you to do it in sequence?
I'm not really sure.
Was it just the continuity of the storyline?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of trying to explain this to Sean earlier, but like when you play them a month apart or whatever, you know, you're like, oh, here's these same jokes again. You know, these mm-hmm. same recurring jokes. Mm-hmm. But when you play them back to back to back, you kind of like look forward to those jokes more. I don't know if that makes any sense.
So it's kind of the art of the running gag as opposed to just stringing it along.
Well, it's like,
do they have the joke about the Ganges River?
No, I don't think they.
It's
have
to, that. Okay. Let me just say it because they might want to include this in the next one. But it's the best part. Have you heard about Ganges coffee?
Yeah. What about it?
The best. You have to say it in a stereotypical accent, which I won't use. But the best part of waking up is Grandpa in your cup.
Oh, man.
Oh, well. Come on, dude. I prefaced it. Said it was bullshit. All right, Ryan, is that joke in there?
Back to Salmon Max.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
If we can.
Salmon Max. Pretty
so
good.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. It definitely gets better toward the later half of the series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it wrap up satisfyingly, the end, chapter 6?
It does. There's actually an ongoing story. It doesn't seem like it at first, mm-hmm. but
so how would you put this compared to the original Salmon Max game? Is it in that league?
It's not. I can't say that it's as good as the original Salmon Max. I mean, that game was.
But it's good enough to stand on its own, though.
It is. I mean, yeah. You don't have to play the original.
And how about to today's gamer who maybe necessarily hasn't played a adventure game, either before or maybe in years?
I think these games are a lot more accessible than, you know, like the old school Sierra LucasArts adventures or whatever.
Why?
They don't make you feel stupid.
Yeah, they are easier.
Are they easier?
Yeah. Like, I think I was maybe once and a half, maybe I was stumped.
I mean,
the 5 episodes I played.
I think they get a little tougher as they go along. Mm-hmm. Episodes 5 and 6. Noticeably so.
Yeah, I only played episode 1, and I found that the puzzles that I had to think about a little more ultimately did have like a straight up logical solution as opposed to like the kind of goofy logic of the old LucasArts games.
Yeah.
Where it was like you couldn't just think if you thought how would this work in the real world, there's no way you would solve the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You had to think, you know, in like cartoon logic, which
was
there,
it consistent
there was quite
cartoon
a bunch of
logic
that.
Though?
There was still some cartoon
there
logic.
There was, but in the old games, I know in
like the
in
thing
every
is it has to
was
have some logic, whether or not it's like real world or it's like it has to be a consistent logic. Otherwise, you're just like, I mean, how do you figure anything out? You
right.
Know?
Well, in the old games, there would always be at least one puzzle where I'd be forced to go to the walkthrough and I'd read it and just go, oh my god, there's no way in hell I would have ever got that.
Yeah. And usually,
every time
combining a few items in your inventory,
that's always
2,000
the trickiest
items.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, I was supposed to combine the honey with the comb with the string. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be some sort of like
right.
compass.
Right. But I didn't find any of those really. I only played episode 1 of 6.
I mean, they're all.
But I think like most of the puzzles seem pretty much on par with, like, you know, not early spoiler, but using the gun to shoot a hole in the cheese kind of thing. To make Swiss cheese. It's kind of like.
They get harder than that.
But it follows that kind of like logic. I think it does follow a more logical thread than previous mm-hmm. LucasArts games.
And the one puzzle that like blocked me for a while was the one where I was supposed to drop the bowling ball on the guy's head.
That
and once I did it,
first.
I was like, oh, duh.
That's one of the things that occurred to me immediately. Like, I look out the window, I see this dude, I have this bowling ball.
Well, so you figured that out on your own?
Sam and Max logic.
I kept
know?
Like banging him on the head with the bowling ball like right up front. I mean, right while he was there, and it would always say, or he would turn around as you were doing it, saying, I see you. Mm-hmm. So I knew I was on the right track. Right. I knew that I was supposed to hit him with this, but from a distance.
Yeah, and they do telegraph, like, when you're on the right track, but screwing up, they tell you that, like, yeah, use that, but use it a little differently, a lot.
So you're right, probably a little more forgiving, these, than the old ones.
Yeah.
Never hard enough to make you really frustrated, never so easy that you feel insulted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they pretty much kind of got it just right.
Mm-hmm. So are they going to sell it now as one whole thing?
They are.
They are?
Yep.
Yeah.
A retail version?
Yeah,
oh, cool.
It's going to have all six episodes. It's going to have all the little animated clips that came out between each episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, probably some other extra stuff.
Sean, Ellie, are you going to play it?
Yeah, I should be playing it on GameTap. I'm still like in that position with the PC that can have one game on at a time, and maybe it'll be Sam and Max. Although tonight I'm tempted to do Lord of the Rings Online at long last.
That's like a large install.
It's a large install.
I'm just committed to have to take off ILT.
That's a good 5 gigs on there. I think.
Wow. So Lord of the Rings Online has actually infested its way into your brain. Because Ryan,
it's just
because
my friend Rory's playing it, and I play games with him, and he's griefing it like crazy. He's got some really good stuff going.
He's not actually playing it. He's griefing.
Hey, that's a way to play it.
Well, right.
That's playing.
I didn't mean to make that distinction. No, I grief in that game.
Well, look, collecting, like, until you can come up with some better shit than collect 35 of these or 45 of those fucking things or kill 100 of those, then I'm going to go and play like the same as you and your stupid flute.
I talked about this on One Up Person. Yes, I know. I do grief in Lord of the Rings Online.
Yeah. You admitted it.
I do.
When I paste you the aims of the stuff he's telling me he's doing, you're like, all right.
No,
I
told you on AIM today. I was playing
Sounds
Lord of the Rings Online
than
earlier
doing
today.
Doing any of the quests they got for you.
Yeah,
think about it. What's more fun? Summoning a pet of your own that lures like 40 enemies to it, and then dragging the pet over to some other bystanders, and then dispelling the pet so that all the mob just attacks the other dude, and then you running off, but singling out the people with the undefeated or undead or whatever thing. Like or go collect 15 mushroom caps.
Of course, griefing wins.
That
griefing
sounds like
always
it's
going
to be fixed pretty soon.
Yeah. Like that, if the developers made that as a mission, we wouldn't have to do it.
Yeah, you're right. It is fun to watch the undying guys start whining in the chat channel that they're no longer undying. I just like typing stupid shit in the chat window just to piss people off, because this has the most, like, I mean, people goof off in this game, but more than any other MMO game, I've seen people like not very humorous about.
I got a hero of the web that
they really need to break down
MMO
those like RP versus.
Yeah, like I said, you know, looking for a group to kill Tom Bombadil because his prancing and singing is pissing me off, right? Which is an obvious joke, and there were a few LOLs I got, but you know, some guy did a tell to me, and he was like, "That's," which he spelled T-A-H-T. That's sacrilege, which he spelled, phonetically.
A-B-I-G-F-1.
Yeah.
Sacrilege.
And I thought
J.
he was kidding, but he wasn't. He's like, you can't kill Tom Bombadil. It's like, first of all, you can't kill him. So I was obviously kidding. It's impossible to grief him. He's an NPC.
He's like Tupac.
Second.
It was a thought crime.
Even
typing it was a thought crime.
Just typing it was a thought crime.
Yeah, don't do that again.
And then the other thing
I did today was
that was you.
Yeah.
I pissed you off,
yeah.
Sean. I'm sorry.
I'm still crying.
Do you run into characters from the books? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
you do.
The Fellowship?
So far, I... Will you run into Aragorn?
Does he look like the movie Aragorn?
No, they don't have the movie license.
Oh, you should complain about how these characters don't look enough like in the movie.
No, or like in real life is what you have
But
to
they probably
say.
Like, they probably, like, pick the hairstyle that
it's
looks
a
kind of like
kinda
him,
close.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, the other thing I did today was I said, hey, guys, I just found the One Ring, and I sold it to a vendor. You know, it doesn't get more stupid, and, you know,
yeah,
it's hardly humor.
That's not even
humor. You know, and yet some guy still's like, you know, bullshit, he types.
No, really?
Really?
Yeah.
That's bullshit, really.
That's good.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I do encourage you to install because you'll probably have a lot of fun.
I would. I did that even all the way back in my first experience with that kind of game was Phantasy Star Online. And if you can call a four-player game an MMO. But, like, you know, you go in the lobby.
Exactly.
Maybe
massive.
There's 20 people and you tell them, like, hey, I got the Egg Blaster or something and I want to give it away to one lucky player. And then you just do the usual. You go, like, so you drop into a world with three people that want to do it. And you say, all right, you guys all stand out here. I'm going in the dungeon and I'm going to drop it in a spot. And then we're going to start the race. And the first one in gets it. And then I'll just drop like a dollar or whatever they called in there. And then, I mean, just routinely just do stuff like that. So I want to bring it to the world of the Lord of the Rings.
You know, I encourage that. Those people needed to.
Also played a little of Arma, formerly known as Armed Assault.
Because Arma is so much easier to understand.
Yeah. I don't understand that at all.
I want to get my Arma on.
I mean, of course, if it was called Armed Assault, we'd be making fun of that, too, for having such a generic name.
That's at least neutral. Yeah.
So basically, these guys could not win.
Arma.
But this is actually, I mean, this is promising to me. I talked before about, like, track IR functionality for it. So I got around the plane, did, you know, the training and stuff, but then did some of the missions. And this is actually cool. It's a game. It's a Battlefield-style game, but, of course, much more sim-like, far more, and also very, very European. Whereas, of course, DICE in Sweden makes, they're also European and they make Battlefield, but they make a game that's, it's got, that definitely bears the EA brand on it. This, not so much. It's clearly like, okay, no one is going to, like, sweat you guys over whatever interface you come up with. And even if, like, you have to, like, reinvent the wheel for every single thing you do, whether it's like sighting down your scope or looking or anything. But that said, like I was like, okay, you know, I'll just take the mental challenge of having to relearn a game instead of like, you know, you go into a shooter and you're like, why is there a fucking tutorial? Is there someone who's still just experiencing their first goddamn shoot? Oh, pulling the right trigger makes me shoot. What do you know? But
try ducking under this log.
Yeah, mouse one and shoot. And
run across the board.
And so you think you're like, okay, it's going to do that. And then, it starts off, you know, of course, you're running an obstacle course and stuff. You know, just it's to learn how to sprint and crawl and stuff. But after that, then, it's when you play single player, you can issue, you know, really precise commands to the soldiers that are in your squads. I mean, if you're in a tank, you could choose to drive it, operate the gun, or be a commander, where it's kind of interesting. It's like you're indirectly driving it. You're driving it through giving orders to the crew and stuff. But it's, I mean, once you get used to it, I'm seeing a lot of promise. I mean, and mainly because you can, the mission editor just seems like really cool. You could do, you could basically put together whatever scenario you want and go play it cooperatively online with friends. Or the single player campaign, much more than Battlefield, where it just throws bots into maps that are multiplayer maps. Mm-hmm. It basically takes and, you know, it adds, you know, scripting and dialogue and creates like a series of encounters through it. And it's definitely, I mean, if you want a really PC-centric shooter, it's buggy and the interface is going to like annoy you as you're easing your way into it. But I don't know. I think I'm liking it so far. I could see myself becoming converted to it pretty quickly here.
Well, these are the guys who created Operation Flashpoint, which basically was Battlefield before there was a Battlefield.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just kind of like an evolution of what they started. And I totally agree with you. I mean, I was having a fun, I mean, I'm still kind of like mired in the tutorial stuff, but it's complex, but I think it's a little rewarding at the same time for getting through it.
And we gave Operation Flashpoint Game of the Year back in the day.
And the I got to remember to bring my Trek IR in and play.
I want to know how that works out.
I want to see it.
All the you can see me gipping out. We'll have to talk about that shit so much.
I want to see
put that video up online.
Walk down Market Street in San Francisco with that thing on.
Oh, God, my girlfriend found it in the drawer the other night.
Really?
It was like if she found like a flashlight or something
toy.
In there, you know?
It's,
yeah.
It's like worse than putting a butt plug in the drawer.
Yeah.
She like pulled it out. Here's my headset.
It was like she pulled it out like with two fingers, you know, letting it dangle.
Seriously.
And this is just like a golf visor, but it has a little like metal clip apparatus on it. And she was like, "What is it?" Because it's like, how far is this going to go? You know what I mean? Like, when are you getting to the teledildonics or whatever they call it? You know, like, when you come home and you're the internaut, you're sitting there with, like, suction cups on your nipples and a flight stick between your legs.
Oh, did she really wonder if it was something awful like
that? No, she knew it was nothing like that. But, I mean, it was definitely a look of disdain and contempt on her face as she pulled it out. Because I had to, like, you know, I played that thing in privacy, I admit.
So you haven't worn that with her around?
I haven't.
You don't really wear that with pride, you know? It's just.
But I'm like, what can I say? She was like, every time we go to a friend's party and they got like Karaoke Revolution or something, the girls get all drunk and sing on that bullshit. Like, why would it be any more embarrassing
don't be ashamed.
Having that than singing like the goddamn Gin Blossoms or something on Karaoke Revolution?
Wear it proudly, Sean.
Put it on your head and get it over.
That's
with.
For you if you're listening, Melissa. You heard that.
Till I hear it from Melissa.
Darren, any more about Arma?
No, that's it for me on that one. But before we jump on over to many other things, I have been this weekend playing even more of a preview build of Overlord. And I know I've talked about this briefly in the past. And it's a game that no one is really talking about. I keep looking online to see if it gets any more buzz out there. But it really is. It's like Pikmin meets Gremlins. It's a lot. It's
you've been hyping. You've been liking this game.
I have, and it's like one of those things where, like, if they follow through it with it, and the multiplayer, they have some cool multiplayer options coming up. And
mm-hmm. you're playing the reviewable though.
No, it's not. It's a previewable.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, so
I did like Pikmin.
Right. I mean, it's just like
Pikmin.
There's this action. There's a little bit of puzzle solving, and it's pretty straightforward. But at the same point, it's open-ended enough that you have these morality choices inside the game. So if you want to destroy the villagers and loot the town, you can do that. And the game responds to your actions. So, like, the people will fear you and leave, like sacrificial virgins up, or you can play the relative nice guy, and they'll just kind of, like, let you slaughter their sheep or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
Sacrificial virgins?
Sacrificial lambs. There you go.
They'll give you stems and paper plate of I can't
come on
the tongue tie
of twigs and seeds, stems, twigs and seeds, or they'll give you like a big like spear of kine. Isn't like it? The whole thing is based on your jaw, right? I'm sorry. <man. laughs>
No, but it's one of those things. I just, you know, when I get more builds, I'm gonna totally pimp this to you guys so you could at least check it out, because I think it's worth
your
time.
But if it's lame, we're gonna call you
on it. You know what? Call me on it then. But I'm having a fun time. I turned Sharky onto it. He's having a fun time with it.
Wow.
And that
that's
guy,
one of those. If Scott Sharky likes it,
he'll like it.
He hates everything.
Yeah. Sharky hates everything.
I think the one thing I forget, we were joking about it earlier, and he says to me, like, it's the game that Peter, if Peter Molyneux finished a game that was fun and saw it through to the end.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty big. That's a pretty big praise. Pretty big praise.
It is.
God, I can't even talk.
I'm gonna say whilst we talk about that.
Two pretty big praise.
Sorry.
Okay, well, we're through segment one. It took us an hour to get through segment one.
We ran the gauntlet for one.
And there was still more, but right. I'll leave it off. I had that bitch about downloadable content.
You're right.
To be continued.
To be continued. We have six more segments to do.
Holy
well,
Jesus.
We're obviously not going to do them all.
We'll do at least one more when we get back. From this break. We'll be right back.
Three, two, one.
You're the best around.
Listen to EGM around. Live, the weekly podcast for Electronic Gaming Monthly, available every Monday for download at egmlive.oneup.com or podcast.oneup.com or the iTunes Music Store.
Sweep the lake,
Johnny.
Sweep the lake.
See, we're back already. So fast.
Did you miss us?
Do you want to do your little rant, or should we just move on to the next thing?
The downloadable content thing?
Well, I'll let it go into, because we want to talk about Hellgate pricing. All
we got you.
We had Bill Roper on the podcast last week for 2 hours, and he was fantastic. He's welcome back anytime. We talked a lot about Hellgate, but the one thing we didn't talk about was the one thing that a lot of people wanted to know about, and we weren't avoiding the question. We're going to talk about it right now. The only reason we didn't actually was we were kind of in this weird place where the magazine wasn't quite out yet, and the magazine is actually the place that broke all the news
we had the
about
exclusive
the pricing.
Story.
We knew about the pricing, and it wasn't yet out on the interwebs, so we didn't want to blow it.
Yeah, and undercut our own issue.
In the meantime, it actually got out around the time of our podcast. So
and that's the problem.
It's
like, as soon as that issue hits like Zinio or whatever,
right?
It's
I think had we
web.
Known, we would have just called him on it because. But I got to say that...
Well, not even calling him on it. It's just kind of...
Well, it's not even calling on him. It's just... Because actually, I mean, I'm in the camp of I don't even know if there's much to call him on. I think that the sort of uproar about it was a little...
Well, it's this knee-jerk reaction.
Ill-informed. Yeah. Yeah, it was a little knee-jerk.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do have...
Well, let's break it down then.
Okay. To break it down, if you didn't see our article or read the million articles, and you guys jump in with the details if I'm blowing it... is that the shipped out-of-the-box version of Hellgate London, when it comes out, is going to have complete free multiplayer. You can play the whole game multiplayer for free, just like Diablo 2. These are the guys who made Diablo 2. They made Diablo 1. It's that same model.
Actually, not just Diablo 2, also Guild Wars. I mean, basically, it's a very similar kind of like online model in that respect.
Right. Exactly. So... But what they announced in our magazine is that there is also going to be a monthly paid service called Elite, or I don't know if they're calling it that officially.
Apparently, they might be, I guess, maybe because of the reaction to the name, They might be changing the name of the service, but
yeah.
Oh, really?
The artist formerly known as Leet.
Well, this is a bad thing. It's like Dana Dane wrote a rap about this back in the 80s, you know, and it was like, you guys don't even know. That reference is lost.
No, I'm just staring.
If there's
the
one listener who knows what I'm talking about, Cinderella, Dana Dane.
You got like the four whitest guys in the business.
You can write in on that.
If, if I could do the cricket sound effect.
Like, no, it's like, it's basically like just. you don't say you guys got the cool shit and you guys are going to be the pimps of the world. And then the rest of you are like Cinderella scrubbing the floors of your like filthy stepsisters, you know? Like that's, yeah. And that's what like Penny Arcade in a comic strip reacted to, and everyone's just this notion that you basically got the untouchables who like aren't paying for the elite, and then you've got the elite, you know,
right? Well, but the elite version is giving you access to things that you absolutely, as far as I can see, don't need whatsoever. You know, I mean, you're getting certain perks. Your inventory, or not your inventory, your bank slots are bigger, so you can hold more shit. You can fast travel between locations. It's that kind of thing.
Well, there's extra stuff. Well, there's
fast travel. That's pretty big.
That's a convenience factor.
Yeah, but it's like, why should you have to pay for that? Because that's a pretty huge fucking convenience. I got to take the Hilto Express for miles
God
and miles.
Right. You're in steerage, buddy.
When it's not going to cost them anymore to let me like fucking hit the menu screen and move from place to place. That is a straight ripoff right there. Bill Roper, come back on. I don't want to take the Hilto Express everywhere I go in your game. Pay extra money to get on the people mover. That's stupid, dude.
Maybe that one is. I mean, I don't.
You know, it's like maybe there are some of the elements that I can understand, like, you know, take an issue with. But overall, I mean, like, it's if you play Diablo 2 and you got no complaints about playing that for free, then you're getting that. Plus, you're getting a lot more variety.
Yeah, but your friends say we're going in, like, Darren, we got to get to the Castle Nargul, and then I'm like, see ya, boo! And then you're like walking, and I'm like, you get a message from me. Hurry up, motherfucker!
I'll see you later.
And you're like, oh, I just got ambushed by a mob. I'll be there in an hour or so. And I'm like, hey, fuck it, never mind, dude. I'm already level 28. I'll just let you do what you're doing.
So you can go play with some of your other low rent plebes.
That's Darren in that case.
Oh,
you notice? No, I pointed in that analogy. I played myself as the lead. No, I was paying.
I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, it really is like I could totally. I mean, I'm kind of on the fence on this myself because if you think about it, like. You're on one hand you're comparing this to Guild Wars, but on the other hand, it's also adding on a lot more than you would pay for World of Warcraft.
Right.
And so I mean, like, then you could take the flip side and say, hey, it's cheaper than World of Warcraft and it gives you a lot more. They're promising like regular content updates once or twice a month.
Yeah. That's actually the biggest part of the elite thing. It's just the extra content.
The cosmetic stuff is fine. You know, I don't care if you got a pet or a pink sash on your neck or something. That's fine. I mean.
You don't covet like, my pink sash?
Yeah. I mean, and those are like, yeah. I mean,
no, they're talking about like extra, like missions, like areas, monsters, weapons, classes possibly. I mean, like that's the kind of stuff that's they're talking about like for rolling out in eventual content. And I think that you compare that with a WoW as opposed to a Guild Wars, and you're like, you know, that makes sense for $10 a month.
Yeah, I mean, this is all totally dependent on how much they can pump
out. That's exactly it.
Because we don't even know. They say, like, one big one a month and maybe another smallish one.
You're right. It could end up being, like, Half-Life Episode 2.
And that sounds good?
No, that's exactly it. It's, like, one of those things where I'm, like, it sounds like a great idea right now, but, you know, ask me again in 3 months when it's actually
That's pretty much what you're paying for. And I think what the reason they give you the other stuff on top of it, I can imagine them all saying, okay, that's enough right there. The whole reason you would even charge for this is to have a team working on additional content at a regular pace.
Right.
And now if they say, okay, what if we don't hit our deadlines or something? Then you have to still have a reason why you're paying a subscription fee. And that's I think that's maybe where this other stuff came in.
Okay.
Because like
So it's possible I misrepresented it by presenting it in that order. I mean, really, the main reason you're paying the monthly fee is for
that's at least my guess about
it's a combination of things. It's the extra content plus the the white glove service, plus you know, you like as an elite member or whatever they're calling it, you're basically this digital Freemason. You can like build you know, create a guild.
Right, but hopefully the game is going to be good enough out of the box that you would never have to do this and not notice.
But that's
Diablo 2 never had additional content, and people are still playing.
The only time you will notice is when you're in these main hub areas where the different characters will interact, or you can create a filter and say I don't want to see these people.
Okay, because the noticing thing,
seriously?
I mean that's huge.
I think
that's
part of it
because. Like, once upon a time, I was very sort of, like, indifferent to the downloadable content or pro-downloadable content because it's like, hey, when I buy a game, it says on the box what I'm getting, and I know what I'm get, what I'm paying for. And it's like if a month later they're like, oh, well, now we've got new vehicles and new guns and stuff, I can't demand it because I entered the agreement knowing that those things weren't there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
However, I played, you know, I'll turn this, this will be Crackdown, but definitely in the context of Hellgate and to go back. But like, I got the free downloadable patch for Crackdown on the weekend. And what it does is basically turns the game into a fucked up nightmare. It gives you some good stuff. But at the same time, no, it turns it into like, okay, here's an example. You're jumping around. It gives you an ability, you know, you can turn on like, you know, super level 5 agility or whatever. So you're jumping around. What do you see? There's this flashing light on a building. Well, let's jump up there. I can jump really high now. Let's get up there. Hit that flashing light. You must download content to access this mission. Would you like to download content? Like, no, sorry.
Oh, man.
Then you're like, you open up a menu, spawn this, this, or that. You know, do you want to spawn this new gun? Sorry. And then the menu comes up again. Click here to download the content. Do you want this new Doom bug? No, click here to download content. And as you're playing, everywhere in the world, you're seeing these constant reminders. And it definitely is like Homer Simpson going in the fucking itchy and scratchy land. And they're like, oh, sorry, you can't ride Nargul Mountain. We only take itchy and scratchy bucks for that. But it's like, okay, maybe I know. Maybe even if the sign out the front of the door said, you know, a pass to this theme park is only going to get you access to some rides. But then when you walk in and like every other moment you see a giant sign saying, sorry, but your ghetto pass isn't enough to cut it. Mm-hmm. Like then it gets dumb. It's like this: you turn the game that I bought into just an advertisement to buy some more shit. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't turn that off. And my fear is also for Games for Windows Live is that because, you know, Mark Rain, when I spoke to him, said, of course, that Microsoft wants the developer to every bit of functionality that's available to a gold tier subscriber has to be visible to a silver subscriber, but a non-paying subscriber. And that way, they're constantly being reminded of how much greener the grass is on the other side. Now, I'm wondering if that goes because, you know, Crackdown's clearly a Microsoft first-party game. If it goes to the downloadable content too, where not only do you have to do you offer it and you have to charge for it, but you have to make it like ubiquitous, like the sales pitch to anyone. So it's like I almost regretted getting the patch. I'm like, cool, I can run faster now, but who cares? Like my whole world is just an advertisement to buy some like shit.
Can you uninstall it?
You can't uninstall patches and stuff on 360 games, no. I mean, someone might correct me if I'm wrong, but like I'm sure, not aware
maybe
that.
Maybe you go into like the save game area, you could probably delete some of the
I don't know.
That kind of suck at
it. You know, I really hope they get rid of the silver and gold tiers for
it's such a fucking
GFW
life.
So that's the thing. Like, Hellgate cannot do that. That'll be so dumb where, like, if everywhere you look, there's, like, the Joneses that you can't keep up with.
Yeah, and that's, you know, kind
of,
that's
yeah,
kind
of, I'm
that's
not in favor of games adding this, like, first class and coach.
That's exactly right. The analogy you I know? Used for the Hellgate story when I wrote it. It was just, like, it really does, it's like, it really is that, like, you know, I'm still getting to the same destination, but I'm stuck between two fatties and like and coach.
I mean, the pregnant woman and
like some dude whose arm fat's tripping over the arm.
the seat.
My,
and
I mean, what I'm
sweating like a hog, ordering drink after drink, and they're making him sweat more. And pretty soon, this dude smells like fucking like a puke burp.
And, can I get that extra?
Sorry,
I've
been on that.
I was on a Southwest flight. I almost missed a flight. It was one of those things where they were like, "Hurry up, sir! You're gonna have to run, sir." So like, I run and I get on the plane. There is one seat left. It's totally full. It's a middle seat, and on one side is one of those super fat women who probably should have had to buy two seats.
Right.
And on the other
side, was she wearing purple?
Why would that have been your mom?
Eggplant.
Oh!
I see what you did there.
Bam.
Dude, we could play mama jokes. I like mama jokes.
And on the other side was a woman with a newborn baby.
Oh.
And as I walked up to the seat, the heavy set woman goes, "Yep, you got the booby prize seat."
That's right.
Which was funny.
Yeah.
That made the trip.
Yeah, it did make the trip. And then, you know.
But you like them thick like that, though, so I know which side you sat on.
Actually, I ended up holding the woman's baby so that she could take a nap. Because I'm nice that way.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Very trusting.
See, I just told that story just to show how great I am.
I just want to talk about that seat right now.
Okay, so.
No, but purple.
Purpose.
That's the thing. I want the world to start. It was my dream. You know, back when Mullets Galore came out, the website?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, for a while, like, even though everyone had mullets, there was like people who were just like, holy shit, this is funny. Because if you look, people do have this haircut. You know, like that was like whatever, like 1999 or something.
Uh-huh.
And then like it got to a point where there's like movies that basically had like spoof characters with mullets in them and shit like that.
Yeah, Joe Dirt.
But like Purple Pride, I wanted to make like a purple an eggplant hunting website where you basically like morbidly obese people wear purple and pink. And you basically get the pictures of the eggplants or grimaces or whatever.
I was about to say it's a generation of people inspired by grimaces.
Yeah, we had various like Barneys. You know, we had all these different categories. But when I worked at a grocery store, that's one way I'd keep sane. We had the eggplant watch, and we had it was like
was it kind of like Baywatch? It come running down the aisle.
This is for home branded tacos in your deli. Start this game, dude, and your life will be so much better. Okay. If they had a purple top or purple bottoms alone, it would be like worth 1 point, you know. It would be if it was a combo of pink and purple, then you would get another point because pink is like the other, you know, secondary color. But then if you had head to toe purple, it would be 3. And then the mother was like, if they checked out the power cart, you know, the little like
the rascal,
and they were in purple and in that bad boy, then like you would just win for the day straight
up. Don't you get to go home then?
Yeah, you win.
Is that because they were riding because they were so fat they couldn't walk?
Well, because they don't want to.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no, because it's not their own. We had them courtesy
this
ones available.
Nice. This isn't a nice conversation.
Well, I mean,
it's a hilarious conversation.
Okay, but yeah, we have them in the carts in the front of the store, and if you chose to get in that thing, yeah. But anyway, now that I just want to see if people find that this is true too when you start looking.
I actually never made that connection between morbidly obese.
Most people will notice, but now
you're gonna
notice it. You're gonna be like, dude, that guy was right.
Wow. Okay.
Like what, now I know why you talked about this on the game.
Do you think
that
purple? They think purple makes them look thinner.
It's slimming.
It might be. I don't know.
I only look 480 in this.
Okay, I'm being mean.
I'm wearing my muumuu and like baggy sweatpants.
I wasn't saying I wasn't being mean. I was being self-reflective there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So
yeah. And then
as a disclaimer, as a rule, GFW does not think that being obese is funny.
No.
Just if you happen to be and you're listening,
just don't wear purple.
We're not laughing at you. Yeah, just don't send us pictures of yourself in
certain
purple.
Combination of traits. Then it's funny.
Plus, a few of us here could probably also lose a few.
Now points. That we're offending people, should we just launch into a hero of the
you
web?
Guys,
I'm at myself. Yeah, let's go into heroes of the web to deflect, deflect away.
Okay, I might change voices midway in this because, like, I was going to try to read this in some other thing, and if I can't do it, I suspect I can't. But
Whiskey Nerd's out this week.
Yeah, he's out. Plus Whiskey Nerd doesn't, like, he became his own dude. He doesn't read other people's. He reads his own.
He's not a pimp for other people's. Okay.
I'm not someone else's whore.
Okay, so I have to give thanks to 1UP.com user Killer Slinky, who sent me this in the PM box. And he found this on a World of Warcraft dedicated forum. Ooh. And you were just accusing Lord of the Rings players as being a special breed.
Mm-hmm.
And other MMO players being immune to that. So
okay.
I don't know about immune.
Gupal Jinda from World of Warcraft has this to say. Trolls carry a seething hatred for all races. The Darkspear tolerate members of the Horde out of blood debt or honor for saving them from rampaging murlocs. They've been fighting humans and elves since humans and elves have been around. They're generally bigots and feel superior to all other races. They believe that only the strongest should survive and breed. They believe that so much that they'll let their own young die in the wilds at a very young age if they're not strong enough. I'm sorry, but there's no way that trolls believe in mixing with other races. If they capture an elf or a human, they're going to kill, eat, torture you. Aside from that, it's pretty doubtful that humans could ever survive sex with trolls for a few reasons. First of all, trolls are a lot bigger than humans. Trolls are very primal and savage in nature. There is no gentle hold me and whisper in my ear baby sex for trolls, I'd wager. You've seen Discovery Channel? Yeah, it's probably like that with biting and self-mutilation and tusks everywhere. Human loins could not withstand a troll. End of story. Sorry, Pants, you could never pleasure a troll either. She'd break you in half and be very displeased. Not that she'd ever find a human attractive. Trolls and elves admittedly are more compatible. At least night elves anyway. Too bad they hate each other more than humans and trolls. They're too different culturally, socially, spiritually, and physically from the Alliance races for this to ever happen, in my opinion. Some Darkspear are going to be more tolerant than normal due to fighting in the Third War alongside old enemies, but that's not going to make enough of them all Goldshire Cybers with each other.
Wow.
Goldshire Cybers was like one word, sorry.
Wow.
I gotta ask, when you were listening to this, did any of you, were any of you else envisioning like Steve Irwin? Like,
I was actually just picturing some guy typing that and his wife in the other room going, "Honey, what are you doing in there?
Come rub my feet."
Yeah.
I got a new purple dress.
A new purple nightie.
A purple muumuu.
Oh, that's...
Dude, I could have said circus tent. Or like...
No. I'm commenting on that.
The dark spirit trolls.
Right. Yeah, that's a little sad. That.
Yeah.
It's all true, though.
But so that I like that. It was a good find for Killer because...
That was good.
Killer Slinky, just the notion that you can role play and actually stop and say, you know what? It's kind of like the dude, you know, like the, you wouldn't permit polygamy. You could marry Sonic or Knuckles, but you can't marry yeah. Sonic and Knuckles.
I really like when he
it's
said
like
that.
You can marry a troll, but yeah. You can't be a troll and marry an elf. Like, whatever, dude.
Yeah, I also
like you're
like
already
that
down
said,
the fucking rabbit hole. Like, just marry away. I don't care who it is.
Well, I like that he said, you know, especially night elves or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, he differentiated. Mm-hmm. Other elves, maybe not.
Why is it night elves?
Some straight up racism there. Back of the bus with the
no
dark
kidding.
Elves.
Yeah.
That's basically, I think that argument probably exists in Star Trek land. It's just Klingons, and it exists mm-hmm. in other ones too.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe in Star Wars, there's someone that like had that debate about if you could like tap Chewbacca and live.
Uh huh.
You know?
I'm living proof.
What about Jabba, dude? What about Jabba? No.
Well, if anybody has any opinions out there on having sex with
interspecies.
Klingons, yeah, interspecies mingling, let us know.
Please.
But serious or responses not. Only.
We don't permit that shit. No, but it's not only that we don't permit that shit because it's not realistic. Like, you're in a role-playing clan, dude, in a game called World of Warcraft. What are you talking about realism?
What?
All right.
Wow. Okay. Where are we at here?
We've been going for like an hour and 10 minutes.
Darren's got some pre-E3.
Oh, yeah, okay. I guess by the time we are back, if we're allowed to come back to do this again, we will know what Blizzard's next game is. Did you guys all, did anyone here go to Blizzard's website? They have a little teaser up.
Oh, yeah.
Timeline thing?
Yeah, it's just a timeline. No, I mean,
it's
a
question mark.
Yeah,
says.
It's a question. Right. It's not really a teaser.
It's not shaped like a shark or something.
I think I'm definitely back, fully back in Bill Roper's camp. I think it's StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
I think the MMO stuff was total obfuscation.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, even his argument, I mean, he had several arguments, but the one about like announcing it in Korea, I mean, it's like, come on.
You know what? I mean, I think it's going to be StarCraft 2 as well, but the one thing I'm going to throw out there is I think they're going to go beyond just the usual, here's an RTS. I think they're like every once in a while, they just kind of throw things out there. There's some crazy new shit. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they had an RTS with maybe some MMO elements to it.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be something persistent.
A persistent because, world conquest map, maybe?
They want that so subscription money. Fee, you know? Yeah.
So is that everybody, is that people's guess that there will be a monthly
but it's not going
model.
To be World of Warcraft with like aliens
I never thought it would be that
there was a brief moment where that rumor came up where it's like, oh, is it going to be that?
Well, I think it was kind of like an ongoing joke for me, but I didn't think that, you know, I thought it was too soon. It's just the sheer like number of people that would be required to do a World of StarCraft as well as a World of Warcraft.
It just makes no sense.
Right. I think it makes more sense if they're setting up a World of StarCraft, whatever that might be, by first, you know, getting StarCraft back out there after 10 years and then doing an expansion and saying, okay, here is the universe you will be going into in World of StarCraft in 2012.
It'd be awesome if they just threw everybody for a loop and just announced something completely random.
You know?
It's a dune buggy racing game.
What? It's Marathon. No,
it's Warcraft Rally.
Dude, people would cover that.
With bobbleheads.
People would go insane for that. Remember when Rockstar did Rockstar Table Tennis? People didn't care.
True.
It was a Rockstar game. They were talking
I don't know. People cared about that. It was people in the press that seemed to care a lot.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's because they wanted the GTA 4 exclusive gravy. Oh, yeah, you got a table tennis game? Bring it on over.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, when it comes time to talk about GTA 4, don't forget to come by.
If we give you the table tennis exclusive now,
Dude, there was some, like, I hear that that was a legitimately fun game, you know?
Table tennis.
But remember when I was sending around those preview links, and it was like, this is probably, no, it was like, this is the best video representation of a sport ever made. I mean, it was saying that shit in previews and stuff.
It was
in previews.
It was Pong.
Yeah, right. It was Pong. Could you sleep with hookers though? Like before you play table tennis?
No, those would cut, dude. Don't even go there. That shit is so played out, Jeff. I expect better from you, dude. It's a Rockstar game. Like, here's a good idea for a headline. Someone's sucking you off while you're playing table tennis under the table.
I know. The joke is that it is played out.
You do cocaine lines off the table.
That was a meta joke, dude.
That was very
okay,
meta.
Okay, now I'm happy then. I owe you for that mom joke, man. I'm still hurt. Oh.
Wounded.
I made fun of his mom.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember what started that?
StarCraft.
Oh, StarCraft. Oh, my God, really? That's how we got on that.
Yeah, I see that connection leap.
Yeah. There's probably nothing left to say about that.
No.
We'll just find out next week what it is.
Everyone in the world is an expert on what Blizzard is doing, according to the internet. So, because everyone has their opinion. It's like, oh, no, that doesn't make any sense. So it must be this, this, and this. And
if
like,
you go back and look at all the stuff before they announced World of Warcraft, though, everybody was wrong on that. That's the one that came out of the blue. Mm-hmm. Nobody saw it coming.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Except for us, because we had the exclusive. We had the North American exclusive. We were the first ones to see it. Yeah. No one saw it before us. I was the first person to play it. Nope. Yeah.
The first ever.
But before I went
back
to Brack
Studios.
Back
when we broke the story.
Yeah, I broke the story. No one saw it but me first. I saw it first.
You would not believe where I am today. I am at the offices.
Outside, it doesn't look like a gaming office.
Look,
inside,
an unassuming
100
office
people
park.
Are hard at work on this unassuming business park in Irvine, California. Wow.
Are you done?
I'm done.
You didn't even get to the snack machine in the lobby yet. Get orange juice and Cheetos.
Okay. I'm just free associating every lame story I've ever read. And written. And written.
And written.
Not pointing fingers there.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. The last item on the list says goodbye, fuckers.
No, well, Darren.
We're not there.
So long, fuckers.
Well, Darren did, and you did too, the Sega thing. Did you guys want to talk about that stuff?
Before we get to goodbye, fuckers?
Yeah. I was kind of looking forward to goodbye, fuckers, but okay.
Okay, we'll try.
Hello again, fuckers.
We're
back, fuckers.
Last week began the first of the many, many weeks of pre-E3 activities, which I got to say is the stupidest thing ever invented in the history of the universe. There's like 2 months of, and I'm not exaggerating, we used to have E3 in the old days, ladies and gentlemen, where we would go down and we would see games for a few
months. We heard all that. Week after week after fucking week.
I don't
week.
Care. You're going to hear
We're
it
bitching
again.
About it.
I'm just starting to bitch.
Tell me how it is.
Let's make it a micro bitch.
And then they had to have pre-E3.
Okay.
They had to have pre-E3 because they realized that the journalists weren't all seeing, the quote-unquote journalists were not seeing all the games at the show for various reasons. So they said, oh, no, we really want you to see our stuff. So we're going to set up this pre-E3 day. Then when a few companies started doing pre-E3 days, then everybody had to do them. So then there became a pre-E3 week. Mm-hmm. Well, this year there isn't really an E3 as we know it anymore, right? It's some newfangled thing that nobody in the industry knows what it is, other than that there's like 32 companies instead of the usual 500 showing things. So now pre-E3 has started already.
It's 2 weeks in May and then again in June, and then they have the actual E3 event in July.
So basically E3 is going on for 2 months now, and it started last week. With Sega, Ubisoft, and EA, right? And Microsoft Microsoft showed Halo 3 on Friday. So we can't talk about Ubi. I don't know.
I know. And when that embargo does lift, we are all under NDA right now. Right. But I want to talk about Brothers in Arms.
Like, yeah. No, don't even say it.
You can say it.
Oh, no,
they haven't even announced it.
I'm just kidding.
Dude, we're kidding.
God, man. When did you become a PR person?
Yeah. No, don't talk right. about Brothers in
but
Arms.
But you guys can't talk about the Sega stuff.
We went to Sega last week. So there was a lineup of Sega games.
And there you have
Goodbye,
it.
Anyway, fuckers.
There you have it. Goodbye, fuckers.
Yeah, we're officially punchy at this point.
Oh, no. Whoa, easy there on the mic.
You broke it.
Okay.
Sorry.
So there was a mixed
bag of a lineup in terms of PC. Well, first of all, we weren't seeing their whole lineup. I'm not going to start off by bagging on them. But they did show one thing that was...
bag. Don't say that either, man.
What?
A mixed bag. They had a mixed bag of meaty gameplay.
of
gaming, you can't make fun of
gaming
of, like,
goodness?
You can't make fun
of gaming goodness.
You can't make fun of I'm the first one to ever see it and then start talking about mixed bags and meaty gameplay.
Okay. The point is, we saw one game that was leading on the PC that looked quite good.
Universe at War.
Universe at War. Darren, you want to take that ball?
I will take that ball, run with it. I thought it was we've covered, we've previewed it in the past in the magazine, and it's near future. Earth gets invaded. I don't know how much really people know about the game. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, how much did you know about the game before?
I knew very little, even though Ryan had written a story about it and I had edited it. I had forgotten that by the time I actually saw the game the other day.
So,
like,
I mean,
we should do a story on this.
At the wheel.
Yeah. Oh, we did?
Yeah, captain of our ship, driving it right into the iceberg.
Why haven't we covered this? God damn it!
No, but so
get Scott in here.
So this is the next game from the guys at Petroglyph who did Empire at War last year.
Right. Define Star Wars RTS.
Yes. So the two things that kind of stood out to me as something that I thought were pretty cool about this game, it kind of took the hard points that were on this in Empires at War, mm-hmm. where you can like basically customize out different components on your vehicle on these larger like mother you know, base
right.
vehicles.
Right.
So you can change tactics on the fly, because the one mm-hmm. thing they pointed out that I've always noticed in games is that if you commit to a tech tree early on,
yeah,
like you're dead. It just right. takes 20 minutes for it to actually happen.
Right. They were, wow, Sean Malloy's like ripping apart the sound studio.
He's so excited he's tearing shit up over here.
Yeah. I can't wait to play this game.
The foam bot.
Me there rip wall.
Fixing it.
But
okay.
But that, actually, the one thing that kind of got me really into this, though, the idea of that, like, there are resources in the game.
Yeah,
but every faction has a different kind of resource to pull from.
Uh huh.
So like,
everyone gets a different version of dirt.
Yeah.
There's no fighting over the dirt.
Well, no. So let me give you an example. So the alien hierarchy, their resources pulling like cows and humans and strip mining buildings and stuff, basically using the environment. So if you if you're one of the Novus, which is robotic. The iPod people, basically.
Yeah, that's how the developers call it.
Universe at War.
But the cool. So basically, what happens is. The robots, they don't rely on the same tech. They basically, they work off power, and they have to create a network to get more powerful. So basically, they can create a scorched earth theory and like lay waste the landscape and force the aliens into a certain area mm-hmm. and set a trap for them.
That was one of the interesting things, was that they're making it so like the maps themselves, the environments are the resources, which I thought was a cool idea. So there aren't going to be like pools, little pockets of mining areas. It's like the buildings. Like Darren's saying, the people, the cows, will be your energy source. So there
like,
will
can
be.
Can you destroy the cows if you're one faction? And
that's
yes.
exactly
yes.
it. So that's exactly it. So like, imagine like you know you herd the enemy toward where you want them to go, and then you have a trap waiting for them, so that you just kind of you know crush them when they're not expecting it.
Yeah, they had some interesting ideas, and like you're saying, the ability to shift your strategies on the fly, or shift your. You know, the way you're going to lay out your base or, well, they're not bases, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of this one race, it's like this giant moving sort of mech walker thing that you add things to, is going to allow for you to shift strategies midway in the game if you realize your strategy is a losing one. So, you know, I think that they rightly pointed out, the developer rightly pointed out, that you can commit, you could basically have lost an RTS within the first 5 minutes without even knowing it yet if you've just, like, taken a wrong tactic
right.
against a certain
yeah.
enemy. And the way they're trying to design it is that you can recover from that
right.
in this game.
Which is an aside, I've been hearing that the latest patch to Company Heroes is because Company Heroes was celebrated for being the type of game that you're applauding right now.
Mm-hmm.
That the latest patch is like taking that away from it and made it more like a typical StarCraft type thing. A lot of complainers out there. I don't know.
I mean, the one question it did lead that I didn't ask, but it made me wonder at the time was. Well, doesn't that mean there's going to be a lot more stalemates now, in a way? Mm-hmm. Like, if everybody can just keep reacting to the other... I mean, obviously that will maybe, hopefully, with good players, turn into just a more challenging match. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Right, I mean, the flip side to that is obviously, like, if you are really good, then, like... Well, the way they're balancing it is by making a big reset button that kind of sucks for the player.
Well, it's not so much a reset button, is it? It seems to be more like just kind of like being able to... Like, whoever can, like, think in that rock, paper, scissors fashion of which tactic they need to adjust to... really quickly. So is it a true stalemate? I don't know, but I mean
yeah.
the fact that it kind of extends the gameplay beyond just like, all right, I'm screwed. I'm just kind of like keep base building until I and turtle until I'm ready to die.
Mm-hmm. It did. I do have to say it did look good. I mean, we sit in a lot of demos all the time. We see a lot of strategy games, and this is the first one in a while that really caught my attention. And I went into it not having any expectations and not being predisposed to want to like it even. Mm-hmm. And I walked out of there going, "Huh, cool. We should write about that." I can't remember what else they showed that was really relevant to the PC crowd.
Well, my favorite was the trailer for Condemned.
The trailer for Condemned was very, very funny. For
really?
Condemned 2.
It was funny?
Like,
well, I don't know if funny is what they were going for, but...
Well, I hope it was supposed to be intensely funny. If not, uh-oh. Because I was like lolling throughout.
The first one wasn't funny.
Yeah, the first one was not a funny game.
The first one was pretty serious.
Well, it was. It was all that sort of like...
Bump fights.
Well, it had this voiceover that was just like... Over-the-top, hard-boiled detective guy.
It was like, Michael Madsen, I think, was the voice doing basically what sounded like, basically Max Payne just vomited.
Yeah, I tried to do this on One Up Yours, and I totally blew the joke and ended up making a fool out of myself. So I'm not going to try to do it here.
I feel like the pavement after a pigeon crapped on me.
Yeah, something like, every line of dialogue was like that.
It was basically Miller comic?
Yes.
Unless they've changed the direction of the franchise, that probably doesn't.
No, this wasn't like a this wasn't like a comedy.
I mean, it wasn't like it wasn't that
kind of... No.
No, but the one,
this wasn't Three Stooges or
the one. I'm gonna say like. No, but I remember so the first game was basically we were kind of joking before it came out that we hope it doesn't turn into bum fights,
right?
Which invariably it did because
first one was bum fights, yeah.
Because basically all the possible sleuthing stuff wasn't there. It was just kind of walk over the hot spot, hit the button, and you find the clue. Right.
I only played the port. I didn't play the console version.
Yeah, I played the PC version.
I thought the PC version was super disappointing.
It did the atmosphere right though, and it did. It was kind of weird, you know, when that came out in Fear. To me, they felt like incomplete. And that maybe they, of course, Monolith developed both, and if they should have taken elements from both games and combined them into the same thing, like the Fear team should have been stopping to use some of the detective crap now and then, or like add some melee to it and add some other different environments to it, you know. And then vice versa, because one was a bunch of good gunfights and the other was a bunch of like mediocre bum fights. And the environment,
if we could have
really
shot
did,
the bums.
It really was that game. was creepy as hell to me.
Yeah, the one thing. I mean,
Condemned was
Condemned.
More disturbing to me than Fear, which wasn't at all.
Well, okay, it was because it definitely felt more visceral.
Yeah,
because you actually felt like things were stalking you in the dark, and you were like,
yeah, when you clock him, like you clock some like hobo in his head. Like, you could basically hear his tooth fall out on the tile. He's like, runs behind the thing. He's like, oh, fuck you! And then he goes and hide. No, they would yell. They'd yell and swear at you. And then he would go and hide somewhere, and you'd hear him running around in the dark, and he would relocate. So you'd be like, shit, dude, this, like, crazy fool. And then you'd see him go running again, you know, holding, like, a locker door or something.
It definitely feels predatory.
That was some, like, those are some creepy dudes.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, so when I talked to one of my guys over there, he's telling me that basically they're throwing up the baby with the bathwater and, like, they want to start over and do this game, like, the justice it deserves. And, you know what? I still think there's potential, but they really got to, like, I mean, at least what mattered to me, like what you were saying, borrow some of those elements from other Monolith games. I'd love to see some, like, actual honest to God sleuthing, you know, like give me a let me make me find the clues, make me like actually use some.
Well, that was my
power.
Whole problem with the game was like that you know they introduce all these like spy or investigative tools or whatever,
right? But
then it was just like just go up to the thing and press A,
and it would pull it out.
Like oh shit, make me do the thing.
Right, exactly.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Because then it might as well have just been a generic tool.
Yeah.
Like, just called tool.
The multi-tool.
Go up and press A with your tool.
Take your Leatherman and go ahead and scoop up the...
Yeah, it didn't matter. Oh, great. I'm using the whatever, the, you know, I don't know, EMG scanner. So what?
Finding,
I don't do any fucking thing with it.
Detecting human feces on the presence of airplane pillows.
It's like it was
with
like a
your
big...
black light.
it was like a big neon arrow saying, look here, now hit this button. And that kind of bummed me out.
There was a feces detector?
So you wanted
but
more
you know, they
games.
Do those shows and they like
you
they bust out
mine.
The black light and those other like devices that they use. But instead of finding like supernatural presence and some like serial killer, they find like human feces on pillows and you know semen on doorknobs.
Oh yeah, that's why whenever
on
I go to
cruise ships and stuff, you know, hey, it was on like regular like
it was on 2020
or something.
That's like why you don't eat why I don't eat bar peanuts anymore.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
oh because of that, yeah,
because of all the
urine. Basically, I grab some salad tongs and strip off the bitches.
The danger with like turning those crime tools into something is like mini games.
That's the
other extreme is that you turn them into
the, like the lock picking game that so many games.
Yeah, that's true.
Or at least maybe if they worked it in such a way that you could look at it and figure out on your own like which tool would probably be appropriate depending upon the variety of evidence you're looking at.
Yeah, like
instead it would auto select for it. You'd have all those tools like you're saying, but it would auto select the appropriate tool at the time. So then that wouldn't be too much of a mini game. You're like, okay, like. But in some of them, I don't even know if it abided by its own logic. It seemed that sometimes it was rather, like, you know, all over the place and arbitrary with, okay, well, you're going to use the black light for this. You're going to use the...
Right. I just didn't even know. Once it was, like, that simple, I didn't even know why it was in the game.
Right.
It's like, oh, you're just making me, like, walk up to this one spot and hit a button.
Yeah.
Atmosphere.
So what... it was almost some kind of, like, it was like a cheesy way out of trying to get, like, convey more of the story without actually, like...
I guess, but at that point, it was just like, just tell me what it is. Thanks.
Nice one.
Okay, so Contemned 2.
Contemned.
Well, we do like Monolith a lot.
Yeah.
So take
those ideas and gather a few of them up and put them into...
And they also had a very minor teaser announcement that I didn't go too deep into it, but Gas Power Games is doing their next RPG with Sega.
Right, and we don't know anything more than that.
And that's all they're saying right now. But Dungeon Siege 3.
Dungeon Siege.
I don't think it'll be done.
I don't think so either.
We're all right.
You're right.
I think it'll be StarCraft.
So hopefully we'll try to get more out of them on that.
It'll be Supreme or Commander.
Down the line. Or maybe we'll be reading about it in somebody else's magazine since we've never been overly nice. No, that's not true.
That's not true.
We were very kind to Dungeon Siege 1, I think. Then we were harder on Dungeon Siege 2. And Supreme Commander, we didn't like as much as... some other folks did.
But not too far off base.
I don't think so.
No, I don't even know we. It was like the person that reviewed it for... That's so frustrating to me. I want to get over that. You know, it's like this whole notion of there's...
Oh, that's
kind of like... It's kind of contrary to what we're supposed to be at 1UP. But like, my mind is like a review is attached to the critic who wrote it. The critic who evaluated and responded to the game and had that experience, you know? So it's like... I mean, I could have played Supreme Commander and say, hey, this is amazing.
Yeah,
it's a 9.
You could have done it.
You know, and it's kind of a lie to say. I mean, yeah, it does represent our magazine's take on it. We chose that person to write it for very good reason.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that's just inevitable. Review scores are not what some people want them to be.
You're right.
Be.
You know what I think we should
do? I mean,
we should find whenever we review a game, we should find the person who's most predisposed to give it a really good score. And then give it to them. And then all the game companies will just like us.
True.
We'll get those exclusive scoops. The marketing guys are listening now are going, yes! Finally. We've been saying this for years! Finally, he gets it.
Now,
Halo 2 Vista. 11 out of 10.
I love it. Oh, boy, don't even ask me what my score is going to be on that one.
What's your score going to be?
I told you not to ask me.
Oh, dope.
I still want to be on their mailing list.
All right. I think we're done. I think
Number
we 7? Are finally at goodbye, fuckers.
We made it to that point.
Happy trails,
something
fuckers.
Something's missing,
man. Huh?
Something's missing.
What?
From this?
The content? The humor?
Yeah, I just ruined it. It was the juice. I went out on the goodbye, fuckers, but now I'm dragging it out. I don't have closure yet, guys.
What do you want to
don't
hug?
Don't leave me like this.
We can hug you. Can we hug on air?
I don't feel good about that.
Ish.
All right, we'll be back next week, and we'll be talking about whatever that frickin' Blizzard announcement is and other good stuff.
That's what it needed.
This has been a presentation of the 1UP Radio Network. For more shows, visit podcast.1UP.com.